How to do, Buckaroos. Welcome to the Mike Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 22nd of February, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, this is highly unusual, but welcome to Security Monday.
I was going to say, do not adjust your television sets. we actually are here again on Monday with Security Friday 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. So we're here to talk about Silver Sparrow, which is interesting in a whole bunch of ways that we will get to. But what happened was, like, more information came out about it over the weekend. Like, later on Friday, we started hearing about it, and more information has become available, I guess, about this new bit of malware. So, Andrew, I'm going to have you tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so like Kelly said, this happened, the news of this at least happened over the weekend. It sounds like this was detected earlier. But anyway, so everyone has been talking about this new type of Mac malware called Silver Sparrow, is what they're calling it. And the reason people are talking about it, I think, is security researchers don't know a whole lot about it. Mainly, they don't know what it does, like what its purpose is. I did a link teaser to an Ars Technica article. They say so far it has infected 30,000 Macs in 153 countries, which is pretty, like, from the beginning, that's pretty serious. They say that most Macs are in the US, the UK, Canada, France, and Germany. And so far, they have found, by examining the malware, that about once per hour, it checks its command server to see if there are any new commands or any new programs to run from the whoever is controlling it. And that's it. So far, they haven't been able to detect anything else it's doing. They also don't know where the malware is being distributed or how it gets installed. But they have been able to figure out, you know, so far, here's the extent of infected Macs. Now, one interesting part of this is that it has the capability to remove itself from a system. And for some people, this kind of suggests that maybe this has been designed for hacking into more sensitive systems like government computers, which kind of makes sense because, like they said, a lot of Macs have been infected in the US, UK, Canada, France, and Germany. I think those are, as we said, I think on Friday, the Five Eyes or whatever. So those are really big intelligence countries. Another thing they found is that there are two versions of Silver Sparrow. So one of them is for Intel x86 64-bit processors. And interestingly, another version is for the M1 Max. And as we said on Friday, we were talking about another type of malware, Adware, that was the first M1 specific malware. And so Silver Sparrow, this makes that the second one. So that's, I guess, just another weird thing about it, to me at least, just because I can't see a lot of government systems running M1 Macs.
Yeah, not yet necessarily, but, you know, test machines, like, could be there. And which was part of why I thought that might be interesting, is because you kind of have to vet stuff before it comes into any organization, and government organizations doubly so, obviously. And so it's absolutely possible for there to be test machines, and those test machines may not be set up with production level device management or user profiles and imaged with, you know, necessarily like the corporate approved image that gets laid down on all the machines before they get rolled out to users. So this is partly stuff from my day job that I know about. And part of what makes that concerning is maybe this machine was fresh out of the box and people are just sort of running programs through it. And, you know, it's on the network, but it's not set up the same way as the other machines on the network. So sometimes test devices are a good attack vector. But also, some of the other stuff about Silver Sparrow in particular that is concerning is that it uses JavaScript. JavaScript tends to be a pretty benevolent thing that you can get a lot of, that, you know, that has a lot of permission on your system because it's just JavaScript. So it's using JavaScript, which is concerning. And part of the reason that there's so much concern about this particular malware, it does, I believe Silver Sparrow, I think, is also available for, like, I think there's a flavor of it going around for Intel machines too.
But Intel 86 64-bit processors.
Yeah. So, but the thing that's concerning about it is that everyone that's infected, like, it's not, first of all, it's not deleting files. It's not scraping your contacts off to somewhere else. It's not doing anything right now. And that's what's freaking people out, because it's not showing up on your computer and going, I'm going to take all your stuff and go away. Like, it, you know, or I'm going to use your bandwidth for nefarious purposes or anything like that. Like, that's not what's happening right now. It's just waiting. And the network traffic, if you're worried about, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'll just like watch for the server that it's checking into or whatever. It's using Akamai, which is a content distribution network that it's like, you know, the standard for content distribution when you have to do stuff like at a scale and deploy it across the US or across the world. You're going to use a content distribution network or a CDN. And the two it's using right now are Akamai and Amazon AWS. Like, that's the network traffic that this is using. So you can't just block all your AWS connections because now, like, all the other work stuff isn't going to work. You can't just block Akamai because loads of other stuff is going to break if you just block all the traffic that comes from that particular thing. One piece of good news about this is that I think that I read from reasonable sources that the developer certificate for this has been revoked by Apple. So what allowed it to be built, Apple has already yanked the cert for that. So if you were to try to run it now, or it were to try to run itself, if you have it, then it's going to throw a bunch of warnings at you, and it's going to make it really hard for you to actually get it installed on your system, which is good. So that's a thing that we need to know about. And Malwarebytes, if you have Malwarebytes installed on your system, Malwarebytes is going to catch it. That was the other piece of good news about this. It's just that, like I said, right now, nobody knows what it's going to do, and it's just sort of waiting. And, you know, it got to all kinds of countries and has spread really far. And that's part of what makes this a really, like, really worrying, is because we don't know what it's for, what it's going to do, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I covered all of that. But one thing is interesting, like you said, it makes use of JavaScript. JavaScript is a pretty widespread type of code used on the internet. A lot of website components are written in JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And so a quote from Ars Technica says, once installed, Silver Sparrow searches for the URL the installer package was downloaded from, most likely so the malware operators will know which distribution channels are most successful. So, AKA distribution channels, it's highly likely that this is maybe lying in wait unsuspecting on certain websites. Mm-hmm. So maybe this could be used as part of a spear phishing campaign, which is more targeted than a regular phishing campaign. So a hacker could send you this email, for example, it could be something like they're pretending to be from your bank and they set up this fake website that mimics your bank's website, and they want you to, you know, log in with your username and password to find out this weird thing they say is going on with your account. And so I think it's likely that that whatever fake email or fake website they've created has Silver Sparrow on that website. So yeah. They're just, you know, sending this, waiting for you to download it. But we don't know really what it does.
Yeah. And I just want to back up for a second because you did mention one of the pieces that's interesting about it, which is they're tracking sort of where it got installed from. To make sure that, you know, to figure out like what the popular places were or the places that were able to deliver it successfully to a particular machine. So that information is being monitored, you know, somewhere. And I was reading on the post about this over at ThreatPost, and ThreatPost says that this is a characteristic of a lot of malicious adware on macOS. That a lot of malicious adware does this same thing. Like, where did it come from? So we know to continue to keep doing it there if that's one of the popular places to pick it up. So that was another piece of it that I thought was interesting. And the general impression is that this is a very clever piece of malware, which is the other reason people are concerned about it. Because, like I said, it's hiding itself in Akamai and AWS traffic. We talked about it being distributed like JavaScript, and those are things that are going to make it, this isn't somebody who just stumbled across a security hole for fun and put something out there to see what would happen. Like, this is somebody who knows their way around this and is trying to do something very clever in order to we don't know what. When you hear the tenor of the coverage of this, that's why it all sort of sounds urgent and serious.
Yeah, and like Kelly said, so far it sounds like Malwarebytes, which is an anti-malware software, it sounds like they can detect this. And yes. I haven't heard of any other anti-malware, antivirus software that also does it, but my opinion is just that if one can detect it, then it's pretty quickly the others will have updates and they can also detect it.
Yeah, and according to Malwarebytes, those definitions were updated a few days ago. So if you're keeping Malwarebytes up to date, which you can do, and it's free, since we said this is sort of a sequel to Security Friday, we're gonna head to the practical tip, which is download Malwarebytes, use it, and make sure that it updates. And you can get and use Malwarebytes for free if you especially appreciate it, or you're rolling it out to your organization, whether that's where you work or all of your family. You want to make sure they're all protected from stuff like this. You can get a paid version, and I would recommend that because their business model is paid versions, and it's good to keep them in business because they're keeping you safe. So you can download a free version. So if your computer's acting funny or something's going on, you can download for free, install it, let it run the scan, and it'll tell you. It's very transparent about it found these things. Some of them are kind of bad, some of them are like stuff you should just know is there, in case. And and if the rest of your machine is fine, it's very easy to follow along, even if you're not somebody who deals in malware and viruses and things like this all the time. It's very clear what you are doing and what it wants you to do. So,
yeah, I mean, or if you already have a antivirus software that you're already happy with, like we said before, an important thing when it comes to security is just make sure that it's updated to the latest version. So you get these malware definitions, these software signatures that they can look for and detect it. So that keeping it updated, just make sure you have all the latest definitions like this.
Yeah, and a lot of times you can schedule that stuff to happen automatically in the background. And I know sometimes we talk about how you don't want to just let things update automatically, but virus definitions or malware definitions are absolutely one that you should let be automatically handled. Your computer will take care of it. It'll work like Time Machine. It'll just hum along in the background. And if it needs your attention, it'll pop up a notification and let you know. But the rest of the time, it's just sort of working along in the background to make sure that it's keeping everything safe. And that's really what we're looking for. Yeah, that's really what you want from something, right? Like, stay out of my way until there's some reason that this needs to be something that I'm worried about. So if you've been hearing security coverage about Silver Sparrow, about M1 Max, about all of this, you know, we've talked about some of it already. Like Malwarebytes is going to catch it. The certificate for signing the program has been revoked, so it's going to be really hard for your computer to run it, even if you were to get it now. Malwarebytes will tell you if you have it already, and so going and you know, if you do have it, like as of now, again as of recording this, it's not doing anything at the moment, so it doesn't have to be it's not nearly as concerning in practical terms right now. That doesn't mean we don't know, like I said, that's what's freaking people out, but it should, for the most part, this isn't a necessarily a thing that you're going to need to lose a lot of sleep over, so should be okay. But you've been hearing a lot about it, and a whole lot of the coverage, at least from here, seems pretty serious. That's why we wanted to talk about it today, is because it does sound pretty bad if you don't have a little bit more information. So have some more information. So Andrew, anything else about this that you want to add?
Nope, that's it. I think we covered it pretty well. Like, my guess is most people probably don't have to worry about it, but like we said, it's still good to keep everything updated anyway.
Oh yeah, you should be keeping updated, because all these people got infected like in the last, I think, week, because I think it was the 17th or the 15th or the 17th that it was first like detected. So if you're keeping your malware definitions up to date, then everything should be taken care of that way, so you don't have to worry about that, and that will just keep you protected from whatever comes next, because it's not like this is the last malware we're ever going to see. So updating your malware definitions and your virus definitions, that part's really important. So Andrew, thanks so much for coming by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And if you have more questions about this, if you have questions about other stuff that you've seen in the news about your computer, if you want to give us feedback about the show, you can do that by going to observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. We will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.